भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Yesterday we discussed a few points about compassion, but we didn't have much time for question and answers. So anyone would like to ask anything based on what we discussed till yesterday on compassion? Before that, someone can recollect some points that we discussed yesterday. Summary. False compassion of Bharat Maharaj or Saubhari. So, in the name of compassion, one cannot lose discrimination. Right? Definitely, we need to extend ourselves to help others. That's a part of compassion. But that does not mean to uplift someone's material position, we compromise on our spiritual practices. So, such kind of compassion is called misplaced compassion or false compassion. Even Kaikeyi's example is also considered as false compassion or misplaced compassion, because she thought that Bharat will be happy if he gets the kingdom. But Bharat was miserable. Just to hear the fact that I am occupying the throne of my brother Ram, and it's even more shocking that Ram will be in forests as I am sitting on the throne. Then he was really devastated. He even rejected his mother Kaikeyi. Right, I can't consider you my mother anymore, like that he said. So you may think that other person needs you, needs your attention and care and compassion, but other person may not need it, right? So in this context, I would just like to share that many times we want to express our love and affection towards other people thinking that they are in need of us. But actually, more than their need, it is our need. Because basically, everybody as a soul, they want to love and they want to be loved. That's the need of the soul. So, in the conditioned state, when we don't have understanding that the real love comes for Krishna, the real love is meant for Krishna. If you don't have this understanding, our love, our compassion, our kindness is directed towards so many other material sources, material objects, not sources, right? So Ajamil was so affectionate towards his son, Narayana. So at the time of death also Ajamil was remembering his son, Narayana. But Ajamil's son was not at all bothered about what's happening with Ajamil. He doesn't have the intelligence or necessary emotions to actually go and help or empathize with or sympathize with or be concerned about Ajamil's condition. That boy is playing somewhere else. And Ajamil is crying, he's lamenting, oh, these Vishnu Yamadutas are coming and taking me to hell. So Ajamil was so attached to this boy, and the boy did not have similar attachment or even 1% of his attachment towards Ajamil. Same thing with Bharat Maharaj also. Bharat was so compassionate to the deer. He gave so much of his time and energy to take care of this deer. He even compromised his own physical needs and spiritual practices also to take care of the deer. And without telling Bharat Maharaj, without being concerned, without even acknowledging Bharat Maharaj's efforts, the deer just left. And thinking of that deer, Bharat Maharaj left his body. So many times we are obsessed with or attached to someone, some object, some person. But that other person does not have similar emotions towards us. So we need to infer from this that more than me being compassionate to someone else because they are in need, probably it is my need. It's my need that I am being compassionate towards them. It's not that their need that inspired me to take compassion upon them. A Vaishnava's compassion is truly recognizing that the conditioned souls are starving for some spiritual food. So he really goes out and then gives them compassion by telling them about Krishna. But all other exhibitions or expressions of compassion on a material plane are not mainly according to the need of the person, the receiver. It's the need of the giver only. He wants a satisfaction, mental satisfaction or intellectual satisfaction or egoistic satisfaction or whatever, some satisfaction on a material plane that he is looking for in expressing compassion on other people. Sometimes that may match the material needs of other people, sometimes that may not even match the material needs of other people. But he is just obsessed to show compassion in that way only, in that flavor only. You understand the difference between material compassion and spiritual compassion? You have something, you want to show off that I have this, and you want to impose it on someone else. I am showing compassion in this way. I am showing compassion and I am installing an app on your thing. But basically you have that knowledge and you want to use it that way. Right. Of course, there's no doubt about it. I'm not sure if either you can call it as compassion or not. It's material attachment. Yeah, anyways, you mentioned a point and I spoke a lot about it. Yeah, anything else from yesterday's discussion? Correct. There's a very wonderful verse in Bhagavatam about compassion. Devotees, great compassionate souls, and devotees undergo some austerity or inconvenience themselves to relieve others from suffering. Right. So it may seem that it's on a material level. Shiva drank poison and protected demigods and demons. What is so spiritual about it? Yeah. So all these demigods are authorized administrators in Krishna's service. If this halahal is removed from their path, they can proceed with their samudra manthan, they can get nectar, and then they can resume their activities in the universal government, the cosmic administrative system. And if that is not something which the Lord wants, why he himself will participate in the samudra manthan? The Lord only initiated, they gave the idea of samudra manthan. He became tortoise and held the mountain. He became Sahasrabahu and held the mountain from top. He empowered demigods and demons and Vasuki with the respective modes of passion, ignorance and goodness. And he himself also was Ajita. As Ajita he was churning. So Lord wants that. So it's a service to the Lord. Right? Okay. Anything else? Yeridrishi Bhagavato Gatiratmavada means especially the acharyas show compassion upon people in general by writing books. That's one way of their expressing compassion. Putting all the Vedic truths and the life lessons and the science of devotional service, the whole philosophy in writing so that several generations in future can take advantage of it. Anything else? Any other questions that you have? Yeah, paradukha dukhi. One cannot tolerate others suffering. Yes. Anything else? Yeah. I show compassion not only on some innocent people or neutral people, even if they harm me, even if they disrespect me, even if they envy me also, a Vaishnava is compassionate. Prahlad was compassionate towards Hiranyakashipu. Although Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad, Narada Muni was compassionate on Nalakuvar and Manigriva, although they kind of disrespected him. Haridas Thakur was compassionate on prostitute, although she tried to defame him. So one Vaishnava is compassionate on people, even when others try to harm. So that compassion needs forgiveness. We already discussed on forgiveness earlier. So all these Vaishnava characters, different aspects of Vaishnava character are interrelated with each other. Yes, anything else? Yeah, Renthidev's example, correct. He, in spirit, there's nothing like material compassion for a Vaishnava. Even if he helps someone on a material plane, ultimately that is to bring them to spiritual plane. In that sense, it is spiritual. But he doesn't fanatically think that only if I tell him about Hare Krishna, that is compassion. He doesn't fanatically think like that. If he has some fever, if I go and assist him and make his plate and then give him some non-spicy food, that is also compassion. On a spiritual plane. Because you are trying, helping him recover so that he can do his spiritual practice better. So in essence, what he does is ultimately compassion on a spiritual plane only. Although he is helping someone in his material, external needs. Mahaprabhu told Sivanand Sen, this Vasudeva Datta is not at all concerned about his family accounts and all. He doesn't know how to maintain himself. Everything he just spends in Krishna's service, and he is so absorbed in Krishna. You should take care of his family accounts. Do you know that? Mahaprabhu told. Why? The Supreme Lord had to instruct someone of his pure devotees to take care of the financial accounts of some other devotee. Ultimately, it facilitates their spiritual practice in that sense. Anything else? Any questions or comments or elaborations? Okay, go on. Yeah, in the name of compassion, we cannot go overboard. So first, you should be compassionate to yourself also. Right. We need to understand honestly about one's own limits. What is my capacity? Prabhupada says, tiger is also part and parcel of Krishna. But you can't go and embrace a tiger. That will become your last embrace. Right? In this life. So, tiger is part and parcel of Krishna, human being is also part and parcel of Krishna. Whom do you interact with? So, you need to understand where to put a full stop or a comma, where to pause, where to move ahead, like that. When to show and when not to show. Actually, our whole discussion is centered around this only, but you have eloquently put it in the form of a question. Basically, a Vaishnava is always compassionate. There's nothing like when to show and when not to show. It's basically how to show and how not to show. How much to show and how much not to show. Right? So all this will depend on time, place, circumstances. We can't have a black and white rule sitting in the classroom. It all depends on circumstances and the individual person's bandwidth. So as we just discussed, if Mahaprabhu can make tigers and deer also dance and chant holy names, right? But we may not. We may become their meal. So restrict your compassion to human beings, right? A pure devotee also may just speak to some young girls and transform. For example, Ramanand Rai, he can bathe the bodies of devadasis, massage them with his own hands and decorate them, that too in a secluded place. Still he is unaffected. But an ordinary man will get affected. So better stay away, right? So, in essence, in one line, your answer to your question is, whatever capacity you have, within that capacity, within that realization, within that facility, you try to be kind and compassionate to other people, right? And wherever you see a harm for your own spiritual life, as a sadhaka, better restrain yourself, like that. Anukulasya sankalpam, pratikulasya varjanam. Even undue compassion also is pratikula sometimes if it doesn't match our current status in devotional service, right? girls. Now, if it is a public program where men and women both are there, there is no harm in addressing. But if it is a private program, if it is a one-to-one preaching, we should avoid. And even if it is a public program where women are there, and if it is authorized by someone, by some temple authority that we can do this, then you may do on the strength of their blessings. But still, if you are feeling some inconvenience, some discomfort in doing that, you can always express, "Oh, put someone else for this program. I will preach to that crowd where only men are there, not women." So like that. But this should be done with due respects to women. Right? They are Vaishnavis. They are also seeking Krishna consciousness. Just because of our limitation, we are not speaking to them. Not that they are fallen, I am so elevated, I can't speak to them. That's not the mood in which you reject a preaching need or a preaching proposal, right, to ladies. Basically, be clear in your mood. So, in a public program, addressing is bona fide. Privately interacting is not bona fide. That is clear. But if you have certain inconvenience, even in addressing in a public program also, we can express it. Let someone else do it. And if there is no one except you, and it's a dire need, and authority is like really pushing you or asking you, please do it, there's no one, then just go there. Depend on Krishna. Right? Your care and your fear of Maya, healthy fear of Maya, will protect you. Your sincere prayer to Krishna will definitely protect you if there is a chance of any disturbance or anything like that. And in an audience, there are men and women, you can just look towards men and kind of, you don't look towards women if you are getting affected, simple. Right? Looking above their heads, these are certain things are there. You don't look straight into the eyes, you just look above their heads, look in that direction, but not... Right, so these are certain practical things which you will automatically implement, right? But if it is getting too much uncomfortable for you, you can just express, "I am not the fit person to do this," right? Like that. Some people, they even have certain reservations. "I am doing aarti to the deities," right? While you are some many years back, someone was asking the question. So when you are doing aarti, showing lamp, you show lamp to the lotus feet, then waist, then face, right? Then seven times, the whole body. When you are doing limb by limb meditation of Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, right? If you are not comfortable, then what you have to do? Give aarti to someone else, right? If you are feeling too uncomfortable, give aarti to someone else, simple, right? So different people have different limitations for whatever reasons, different reservations or different fears for whatever reasons. They can always do something else. Right? Some people have some reservations in dressing. Some people have reservations in... They are comfortable with arthis. Some people say, "We just do offering." Even in DT service also, some people have different reservations or limitations. Just acknowledge your limitations. Express them if needed. Right? Sometimes there are some small mental blocks or some fanatic mindset also. Right? If you just... go forward and then attempt couple of times, then we can overcome it also. But especially, it's better to avoid, even in public programs also, it is better to avoid in the initial days, till one becomes little mature. If one is too young, it's not very mature, not practicing for such a long time. What is our age? What is our experience? What is our realization? How can we address a combination of men and women where many grihasthas are there? we are small compared to them many times. At least I feel like that when we have to address. Yeah, because especially young brahmacharis instructing grihastha. Of course, temple management will take care of that. But some places that could be an important need, even young people are also to do this. Take it for our purification. Right? Just take a leap of faith, depend on Krishna. That increases our dependence on Krishna. Right? But if it is too uncomfortable, just express it, simple. Internally reconcile it and then move forward a little bit. Don't just write on the face, don't reject it. But if it's too uncomfortable, just express it. Does it make sense? Anything else? Yes. Influence. That's what I'm saying. Circle of concern and influence are there, but if you don't have influence over something, what's the point of being concerned about it? In general, right? Sometimes some people may get concerned about certain things, although it's beyond their influence also. That could be their compassion also. But coming to a practical level, when you have to really implement it, so don't be concerned about things where you don't have so much influence, at least in the beginning stages, at least when we don't have so much of bandwidth. A great Vaishnava may be concerned, because sometimes that undue concern, which is beyond our jurisdiction, will distract us from those things which are within our influence. So, did you completely satisfy all the things which are within your influence, which you can manage to do? Then you expand the circle of your concern. But you neglect the circle of your influence and then be concerned about somewhere else beyond the circle. So that is not justified, right? So yeah, sometimes circle of concern could be bigger than circle of influence for some people. But if they are very mature, that is justified. But if someone is neglecting some things which are within one's influence and then concerned about other things beyond, are pehle ye karo, wo kyun kar rahe, nahi main usi ke liye concerned hu. If you are done with the circle of influence, then you can just go beyond. Does it make sense? Anything else? Okay, we'll proceed with the next discussion. So yesterday we discussed about compassion on a material level. Even in the example of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Yudhishthir Maharaj was being very compassionate and over-concerned about three people. Who are they? Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Vidura. In which chapter? 13th chapter, first canto. Oh, they left home only because of me. I killed their sons. I did not treat them well. They have taken care of me since childhood. This and that. He was like really getting obsessed. Right? Then Narada Muni came and said, you know what he said? Kala karma gunadhino dehoyam pancha bhautikaha. Sarpagrasta. When someone himself is being swollen by the serpent of time and he is under the control of kala, time, karma, his fruitive baggage, guna, moods, adhina, he is controlled by them, deha, by his own body, panchabhautikaha, all these five elements, he is under the control of all these things and he is being swallowed by the python of time and he is giving a helping hand to others. Ajo. And he will also take him inside the python's body. When python does like this, and inside his, all these bones will be pulverized within. Right? So, first, what is that? Hindi mein they say, na? Hamara aukat dekhna chahiye. Just try to consider your capacity. First consider your capacity, then just go ahead. Right? Mood of compassion is great, but attempting something which is way beyond your capacity knowingly, that only shows that one is foolish. So he also said, Narada Muni also said, ahastane sahastanam apadane chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam Jeeva jeevasya jeevanam. So Narada Muni very wonderfully said that you are being over concerned about these three people because you think that you are maintaining them. When we are compassionate on people, we should do it in such a mood that we are not the doers. We are not compassionate. We are being the instruments of compassion of the Acharyas and Krishna. We ourselves do not have compassion. We have borrowed compassion from them and then transferred that compassion to other party, being transparent instruments. Right? We are supposed to transfer compassion, transmit compassion. We don't own compassion. That's the mood of a Vaishnava. Right? So, Narada, of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee. In this pastime, he is exhibiting certain bewilderment to give us a message. You can't minimize the position of Yudhishthira Maharaj. But basically, Narada Muni is trying to point out that you are being compassionate upon them, thinking that you are the doer, you are their maintainer, you are their well-wisher. You can, if you are not there, how will they survive in the forest? That's what is your thought. But Krishna has arranged. There is a perfect arrangement in his nature that different people sustain on some other living entities. Ahastani, sahastana, apadani, chatushpadam. So who is food for whom is decided in the Lord's creation. Why do you think that I only will arrange food for them, and if I don't arrange food for them, they will starve, they will die? That's a wrong thought. So compassion is being an instrument of compassion, not actually, we are not the source of compassion. This is clear. Like that. So now, compassion is the quality which impels a person to make sacrifice for the welfare of others. We have discussed it. So this is also called para upakar. The greatest act of compassion, and that is enlighten a person so that he can transcend the modes. Gurur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pitaya na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na sasyat, na patisya sasyat, na mochayadyaha, samupeta mrityum. Senior batch, you know, forget this verse or what? Junior batch we have not yet covered. So one should not become a guru, one should not become a husband, one should not become a father, one should not become a mother, one should not become a demigod, one should not become a king or a caretaker if he does not have the bandwidth to deliver his dependent from the cycle of birth and death. Right? So this verse very wonderfully shows that delivering a person from cycle of birth and death, reinstating a person in his eternal constitutional position as a servant of Krishna is the real compassion. One who does not have such real compassion cannot assume the role of a superior. Right? And take that these many people are dependent on me. So that's the message that Bhagavatam gives us, Rishabhadev's teachings. So Draupadi, she is willing to put aside all justice for the sake of showing some compassion to Kripi. So Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and many people are not even trying to go to Mathura also from Vrindavan. They want to live in Vrindavan, they want to die in Vrindavan. They are going for Mangala Aartis early in the morning. They are visiting all temples. They are going for Vrindavan Parikramas. They are chanting Radhe Radhe, Krishna Krishna. So in such a wonderful ambience at the age of 70, Prabhupada was thinking, people of the West do not know what it means to live without sense gratification. They do not know Krishna. They do not know this Vrindavan ambience. I want to take this Vrindavan and Radharani and Krishna to the Western people, to the English speaking people. Out of his compassion, he wanted, he is living in Vrindavan, he is thinking about America. It's not compared to someone who is living in a temple and thinking about Maya outside. Prabhupada, out of compassion, although he is in the spiritual world, he is thinking about the material world. How will I take this spiritual world to material world? An immature sadhaka will bring the material world into their spiritual world, which is temple, due to his poor consciousness. A pure devotee, although he is living in the spiritual world, he wants to take the spiritual world to the material world. Like that. We can spiritualize matter or materialize spirit. Within our mind. We don't have ability to do both. Ultimately, Krishna does whatever he wants to do. But with our consciousness, we sometimes materialize spirit and spiritualize matter. Right? And the circuit is our compassion or our distraction, both. So, you can understand how dear a compassionate devotee is towards the Lord. For the Lord, a compassionate devotee is so dear. Or Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who distributes this message to my devotees is very dear to me. Because he is being an instrument in my hands. He is being an instrument of my compassion. So, like that, if we play our little role in the compassionate mission of Acharyas in spreading Krishna Bhakti everywhere, we are slowly becoming dear to Krishna, slowly getting his blessings, like that. Now, when someone becomes an object of compassion for a pure devotee, Krishna will take care of that object of compassion also. There is one small episode in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shivananda Sen, who was leading the Bengal devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, he saw a dog and he became compassionate on a dog. And the dog was accompanying Shivananda Sen from Bengal to Puri. And they had to cross a river. Then Shivananda Sen paid money to the boatman and boarded the made the dog also sit on the boat and took him all the way. And he was busy with some tax collector. He was paying the toll charges. And meanwhile, some of his servants did not feed the dog and the dog was missing. And Shivananda Sen stopped taking his meals. Oh, the dog is not fed. Whoever is traveling with me, all Vaishnavas are supposed to be fed. And the dog is also traveling with me. I should be feeding it. He did not take. So because Shivananda Sen was an exalted devotee and this dog became an object of his compassion, Lord Chaitanya showed mercy. So all the Shivananda Sen's party, they were searching for the dog and they did not find. Somehow they reached Jagannath Puri and they saw this dog with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was throwing coconut pulp to the dog and asking the dog to chant Hare Krishna. The dog is also chanting Krishna, Krishna, like that. And the next day, dog went to the spiritual world, like that. So, in that purport, Prabhupada very humbly writes, let me become a dog of a Vaishnava. Right? We can even become dogs of Vaishnavas and become an object of compassion by being a dog also. Because when a Vaishnava shows compassion, Krishna will take notice of that soul, that object. That object will become dear to Krishna also. So we, as practitioners, we should actually be hankering for that little compassionate glance or compassionate treatment of another Vaishnava. A Vaishnava generally does not think that he is a Vaishnava. He is constantly hankering and waiting like a chataka bird that waits for the raindrop. He is waiting to get some little compassion of another Vaishnava. And that waiting makes him a Vaishnava. Right? So we need to cultivate that mood in receiving compassion. Right? I want to become an object of compassion. You see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these acharyas are praying, I want to become the dog of another Vaishnava, to become the object of compassion of another Vaishnava. At the same time, they are also being compassionate to people in general. You see, simultaneously they do both. You see their humility also, in considering themselves completely unqualified and they are desiring for that mercy. And on the other hand, they were being empowered instruments in Krishna's hands and showing that compassion, transmitting that compassion to the entire world, like Jagadgurus, right? So this is the simultaneous humility and receptivity for compassion and transmission of compassion seen in the character of a Vaishnava. Okay. So we have discussed yesterday the compassion of the six Goswamis, Tyaktva Turnamasesha Mandalapatim Shrenim Sadatu Chavat Bhutva Dina Ganeshakau Karunaya Kaupina Kanthashritau. Dina. Dina Gana means, who are Dina Gana? Poor conditioned souls. Ishakau Karunaya, they are the protectors of such Dina Gana. Karunaya, out of their compassion. So they have accepted to this Goswami life and showing compassion. Even Lord Chaitanya also took sannyas to show that compassion. Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim. You know this verse? How many of you know this verse? Tyaktva sudustyaja. No one. Okay. 11th canto, correct. Yeah. Tyaktva sudustyaja surepsita rajya lakshmim. Dharmishta aryavachasa yadagadaranyam. Maya mrugam daita yepsita manvadhavat. Vande maha purushate charanara vindam. Tyaktva means he has given up. Simple Sanskrit. Sudustyaja. Tyaja means that which can be given up. Dustyaja means that which cannot be given up. Sudustyaja means that is most difficult to give it up. Tyaktva sudustyaja means he has given up something which is extremely difficult to give up. Surepsita Rajya Lakshmi, he has given up, Lord Chaitanya has given up something which is desired by great demigods also, his opulence. He has a loving wife at home, he has a loving mother at home. When one does not have a loving wife and loving mother, better he stays in forest only. But although he has loving mother and loving wife, still he went to the forest. Sudustyada Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim Dharmishta Arya Vachasa. Considering or giving importance to Arya Vachasa, a Brahmana's words. Some Brahmana was not given entry into Srivasangan to see Lord Chaitanya dancing in Kirtan. So the next day he met Lord Chaitanya on the banks of Ganges and cursed him. I curse you that you will not have any material enjoyment. Mahaprabhu took that curse. Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagad Aranyam. And he went to Aranya, Jharkhand forest, Vrindavan forest. To do what? Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagad Aranyam Maya Mrgam Daita Ipsitam Anvadhavat. The conditioned soul in this material world is searching for some material enjoyment, illusory enjoyment presented by Maya. Maya Mrgam. He is searching behind Maya. Mrga here is Mrgayati, means to search for what? Maya, illusory enjoyment. Daita Ipsitam. Daita means to show compassion upon that conditioned soul who is running behind Maya. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas. Otherwise, there was no reason for him to accept sannyas. Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter. The same verse refers to Lord Chaitanya also, Lord Krishna also, Lord Ram also. You will find different meanings to this verse. We can discuss when we come to 11th canto. Now, theme is compassion. So we'll stick to Mahaprabhu's compassion only. This is a thematic class, not systematic class. So, Maya Mrugam Dayita Ipsita Manvadhavat Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindu. Lord Chaitanya's compassion is also glorified. There are 10 aspects of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It will become too philosophical. Helo dhunita khedaya vishadaya pronmiladamodaya shamyak shastra vivadaya rasadaya chittarpiton madaya shashvat bhakti vinodaya samadaya madhurya maryadaya shri chaitanya dayani dhetavadaya bhuyadamandodaya. How many of you know this verse? Okay, it will come in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are 12 dayas in this verse, compassion. ಹೇಳೋ ಧೂನಿತ ಖೇ ದಯ ವಿಷದಯ ಪ್ರೋನ್ಮೀಳ ದಾಮೋದಯ ಶಾಮ್ಯಕ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ವಿವಾದಯ ರಸದಯ ಚಿತ್ತಾರ್ಪಿತೋನ್ಮಾದಯ ಶಶ್ವತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿನೋದಯ ಸಮದಯ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯ ಮರ್ಯಾದಯ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ದಯಾ ನಿಧೆ ತವ ದಯಾ ಭೂಯಾದ ಮಂದೋ ದಯ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಎ ಕಂಪ್ಯಾಷನ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಎಲಾಬ್ರೇಟ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. 12 ದಯಾಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ಲೆಟ್ ಮಿ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್, ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲರ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸೈಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್. ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಗೌರ್ ಪೂರ್ಣಿಮ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಐ ಗೇವ್ ಆನ್ ದಟ್. ಐ ರೋಟ್ ಎ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಆರ್ಟಿಕಲ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್, ವೆರಿ ನರಿಷಿಂಗ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಮರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್. ವಿಥೌಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯಸ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಸ್ಕೋಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಸತತಂ ಜನತಾ ಭವತಾಪಹರಂ ಪರಮಾರ್ಥ ಪರಾಯಣ ಲೋಕಗತಿಂ ನವಲೇಹಕರಂ ಜಗತಾಪಹರಂ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಸಚೀಸುತ ಗೌರವರಂ. ಸತತಂ ಜನತಾ ಭವತಾಪಹರಂ. Out of his great compassion, Lord Chaitanya is constantly trying to reduce the miseries of conditioned souls. Satatam, always, janata bhavatapa haram. He is trying to reduce them, reduce their sufferings. Paramartha parayana lokagatim. And he is the object of worship for all those people who are aspiring for liberation, aspiring for salvation. Nava lehakaram jagattapa haram. He steals away the suffering of the entire universe out of his sheer compassion upon the conditioned souls. Like that, there are so many verses that are glorifying Lord Chaitanya's mercy. In 11.5 only, in that series, Tyaktva Sudusyada, before that there is another verse. What is that? Before or after that? Tyaktva Sudusyada ke baad dekho. ಧ್ಯೇಯಂ ಸದಾ ಪರಿಭವಘ್ನಮಭೀಷ್ಟದೋಹಂ ತೀರ್ಥಾಸ್ಪದಂ ಶಿವ ವಿರಿಂಚಿನುತಂ ಶರಣ್ಯಂ ಭೃತ್ಯಾರ್ತಿಹಂ ಪ್ರಣತಪಾಲ ಭವಾಬ್ಧಿಪೋತಂ ವಂದೇ ಮಹಾಪುರುಷತೇ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಂ. ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ, ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಟ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯಸ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್, ಧ್ಯೇಯಂ ಸದಾ ಪರಿಭವಘ್ನಂ, all the insults that are done to us by the material nature are vanquished. Material nature is actually humiliating us, humbling us thoroughly, insulting us. Parabhav, parabhav means insulting. Paribhavaghnam means Lord Chaitanya's mercy will destroy that parabhav. Abhishtadoham will give us the desired object, that is love of Krishna. Tirthaspadam, Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet are the abode of all holy abodes. Shiva virinchinutam, Lord Shiva and Brahma also offer obeisances to this merciful Lord Chaitanya. Sharanyam, worth taking shelter. Bhrityartiham, very compassionately Lord Chaitanya has, takes away the sufferings of his devotees. Bhrityartiham pranata pala, whoever has taken shelter of him will be maintained by him. Pranata pala bhavabdhi potam, Lord Chaitanya's mercy will act as a boat that can make us cross over this material existence. Vande mahapurushate charanaravindam, I offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. So to conclude, basically we are all imbued with passion in this world to achieve something. When that passion is dovetailed with the compassion of acharyas, we become instruments of their compassion, and we ourselves will imbibe that spirit of compassion. So the mission of human life, or the mission of sadhaka life, is to convert our passion into compassion. Right? And keep aside our passion and become objects of compassion, and then instruments of compassion, like that. A fulfilling life is a life where we are willing to live and die for others with a sacred ideal to uplift people from their suffering conditions. Christ also acted with compassion. Prophet Muhammad also acted with compassion. Prabhupada acted with compassion. So we need to understand that the fundamental need of all of us is love. We need to love and we need to receive love. So everyone is seeking pleasure, but there is only one pleasure that can reach the heart. Actually, our accomplishments, our name, fame, sensual experience, acquisition of wealth, all this will actually, they may satisfy mind and senses and intelligence to a certain extent, ego to a certain extent, but they will not actually touch the heart. But when we truly receive some compassionate treatment from someone, that touches the heart directly. And when we actually genuinely express compassion towards someone, that touches our heart and their heart. So loving compassion, so these are all, whatever characters that we are discussing now in this class, they are all touching the heart. They are all coming from the heart and going to the heart. And a lot of discussion that we do on a regular basis, they may touch the mind, they may touch the intelligence, they may pacify the ego or pamper the ego. But there are few discussions, especially those discussions in character class, they directly get into the heart. They are related to the heart, right? So compassion is one such great quality. All the sensual experiences and name, fame and wealth and all these things are satisfying to the body and subtle body, gross body and subtle body. But if you have to touch the soul, we need to have Vaishnava characters. One thing that every spiritual path has common is this character of compassion. Most people will agree to this. They may not agree in philosophy, but they agree to most of these Vaishnava qualities and characters. And one such important thing that they will agree upon is compassion. Right? If they are genuine spiritual seekers, they agree to this compassion. One who actually follows a spiritual path is an instrument of compassion. Even Buddha also says non-violence is the principle. That the basis of that non-violence principle is compassion. Right? Nindasi yagna videha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pasu ghatam keshava dhrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hare. You know this? Jayadeva Goswami. Dashavatara Stotram. Nindasi yagna vidhe. There are so many prescriptions for sacrifices, yagna vidhis, described in the scriptures. Ha ha ha, shruti jatam, they are discussed in the shruti scriptures only. They are recommended there. Taking the shelter of such scriptural sections where animal sacrifices are mentioned, some people are killing animals. Right? Nindasi yagna vidhe ha 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 shruti jatam sadaya hridaya darshita pasu ghatam. Pasu ghatam means animals being killed. Darshita means seeing that animals being killed. Sadaya hridaya, his heart filled with compassion. The Lord took the form of Buddha. And even at the cost of rejecting scriptures, rejecting Vedas also, he established the principle of non-violence and protected the animals. That was circumstantial. We don't consider ahimsa is paramo dharma, as he said. But considering those circumstances, it was a necessity. Vedas are meant to be utilized for uplifting the human society, but some people are utilizing the Vedas to kill animals. So, just to stop them, you said, I reject the Vedas. If the animal sacrifice is mentioned in Vedas, I reject the Vedas. That's how he just began. And eventually he sent some of his representatives to re-establish the Vedas also. Right? Like that. So, if one gives charity, one's name may be glorified. Again, that fame does not touch the heart. Now, with a genuine heart, if one helps someone by giving charity or by offering helping hand, the real satisfaction is there in that expression of compassion, not the recognition for the charity. You understand? A genuine person, when he is doing some charity, he seeks the satisfaction in being compassionate to a person who is in need. But a person who is not genuine, he seeks the satisfaction in being recognized for being charitable. You understand? Satisfaction in charity comes in two ways. One, recognition for your charitable disposition. Number two, the satisfaction that you have helped someone and saw some smile in his eyes, in his face, that his need is being met. Like that. So, that really happens when we show deep spiritual compassion. But to give in charity because we actually feel for the suffering of someone else and out of love, we really want to help that person, that is real charity. Okay. So, the wider the compassion is, the more one is satisfied. You say the compassion of a tree. Okay. Compassion means to have intense emotions and feelings in our hearts, seeing the sufferings of others, and to be willing to make sacrifices, even experience inconveniences for their welfare. So, even philosophically, compassion brings real happiness. Okay. So, we have a lot to discuss, but I'll just give a pause here. Okay. So, if one artificially tries to be compassionate out of ego and tries to think oneself to be the savior of people or anything like that, so he will not access the satisfaction of the heart. Mm-hmm. So compassion means actually you are not the doer, you are being the instrument of someone else. And the compassion is not out of ego, but out of genuine concern for others. So the act apparently seems to be the same, but the emotion behind the act decides whether you are satisfied and content and fulfilled in the heart, or you are hankering for some external pleasures. Right? So to access the real satisfaction which is deep within us by exhibiting some of these aspects of Vaishnava character is a very tall order. It will take a lot of time for some people, and for some people it's quite natural also. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Gratitude also we did, right? Tolerance and forgiveness will not come up, correct. Right. So tolerance is possible when you have forgiveness at heart. True tolerance. Right? You can forgive when you have compassion in heart also. So as I said, all these qualities are interrelated. Right? So one depends on others, others depend on one. Like that. Anything else? We can go to next topic next week. Huh? Yes, please. We discussed that. Right? Otherwise, one can be obsessed with one's own sense gratificatory desires. Fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj episode. Our desires for sense gratification are like ripples on a river that will never stop. But when the river meets the ocean, what will happen? The tides of the ocean will overwhelm the insignificant ripples. Similarly, our desires, which are like ripples on river, will be subdued when we dovetail our desires with pure devotee's plans, guru's plans, to serve the society, to serve Krishna with compassion. Right? Anything else?
In Sikhashtakam, that second verse, know the things as a knowledge aspect, intellectually or intellectually. And but offensive standing also, that is separate as endeavor. So to real imbibe quality as a per se individuality, a degree of quality. So how actually knowledge, without offensive standing, that quality cannot.
So develop. Actually, I mentioned this right in the first class only. All these qualities are fully present in Krishna, and individual souls who are parts and parcels of Krishna can exhibit or manifest these qualities to a certain degree, to little extent. Now, bringing the discussion to devotees, all these qualities are fully present in pure devotees who have offenseless chanting. And practitioners, sadhakas, who are still chanting with offenses and overcome offenses to certain degree, they can exhibit these qualities to certain level. Right? We may not be able to exhibit the tolerance of a tree, but we can definitely exhibit the tolerance to certain level. I think I was giving this example. If someone did not make plate for you, khichdi plate, you can tolerate that little bit instead of blasting him. For you, if someone did not come to back up on time, right, you may just be a little mild on him. To that extent, that may be tolerance for you, right? So, certainly to exhibit all these qualities will take, it's a tall order, it will take a lot of time, but at our level, we can definitely make an endeavor to exhibit these qualities to certain degree, to little degree. Right, so we understand where we need to go, we understand where we are, and we take our baby steps to travel in the direction. Right, so unless you start walking in the direction, when will you reach there? Right, so we understand where we need to go, we understand the destination, we understand where we are, just try to move ahead like that. So yes, till offenseless chanting comes, we will not reach there. That doesn't mean we don't know when, where to reach. We don't endeavor to know where to reach just because I am not yet chanting offenselessly. Right? Of course, some really esoteric things are there. Okay, Gopi Bhartuh Pada Kamalyor Dasa Dasa and Dasa. You don't have to discuss the conjugal pastimes of Krishna, which are very confidential. We have sometimes something like that. But some of these characters, no? Vaishnava characters like humility, tolerance, compassion. Every day we are chanting Sikshashtakam. Right? A discussion of these qualities is recommended at sadhaka level, so that they are inspired to endeavor to develop these qualities. We are not at this level, we certainly understand that. We try to come to this level slowly, gradually. Exactly. Both will go parallelly. They are interdependent. Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. Once I asked a similar question to Krishnanand Prabhu also during our VTA days. So he also said, so Kirtaniya Sadahari will happen with Ranadapi Sunichena Tarorapa Sahishnana. And if you endeavor to chant always, then you will also develop humility, compassion, tolerance also. So it's a cycle. One is dependent on others. Correct. Okay. It's beyond 6:30. We'll stop. Thank you all very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.